Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Maybe you missed some of the things that we talked about. Thank you for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Americans borrowed more in May, putting more on our credit cards. That's how we often pay for gas. But you may want to rethink that, as Marla Diamond at WCBS reports.
As the owner of a Citgo station in Ramsey, New Jersey, Bruce Greenwood sees the consumer crunch firsthand.
In 1982, 7% of my gasoline was sold on credit cards. Now it's about 80%.
And a huge chunk of Greenwood's profits go to pay credit card fees. With margin shrinking, some gas station owners are passing the fee on to customers, a warning that motorists should read the fine print before filling up. Marla Diamond, CBS News, Ramsey, New Jersey.
Gas prices, the government says, may not peak until November. Oil prices fell today by more than $5, but analysts think we'll see some more spikes. Energy consultant John Ritterbush.
Volatility reigns supreme, and we're going to continue to see large price swings of 10-20% in a week's time in both directions, I'm afraid.
Packs of cigarettes could look a little different in the future, as Nancy Cordes reports.
The FTC is proposing that cigarette makers remove little labels from their ads and their packaging that state that these cigarettes have been tested by an FTC-approved testing method that shows that they are lower in tar or in nicotine. The FTC basically saying today those tests are meaningless. They don't tell you anything about whether a smoker is less likely to get ill because of the level of tar and nicotine in the product.
A heat wave in California only complicates the battle against wildfires there among firefighters.
We have hundreds of injuries. Our injuries we expect to increase only because of the temperatures.
Sherry Patterson's with the State Department of Forestry. High winds fanning a wildfire forced evacuations north of Sacramento today. CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan reports it wasn't just Gulf Coast hurricane victims who got sick from formaldehyde and FEMA trailers. It was also the people who built them.
One of the people that we talked to tonight said when you were actually drilling these boards into the floor, you could smell the fumes. They were wet. They were nowhere near the quality that would be normally associated with these kinds of units.
Gulfstream said in a statement it met all FEMA specifications and passed all inspections. FEMA recently announced it wouldn't use those sorts of trailers in the future. Iraq's defense minister said today he wants a timeline for a U.S. troop withdrawal. That's something the Bush administration has not been willing to commit to. Defense Secretary Robert Gates at Fort Lewis said it will depend on whether the lull in violence holds.
However long that takes really will depend on the situation on the ground, but things are going very well at this point.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 152 points. The Nasdaq was higher by 51. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff! At Napa Auto Parts, we know you want to keep your engine looking just as good as it runs. That's why we've got the world's number one selling engine degreaser for only $1.99 a can. Stop in today for Gunk Engine Bright or Gunk Foamy Engine Bright and remove tough grease and grime from practically any engine. They're just $1.99 each, and you can save even more with a $1 mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Now you can lower cholesterol by taking a Centrum multivitamin. Introducing Centrum Cardio, the first and only leading complete multivitamin that can lower cholesterol. Centrum Cardio contains Corowise, a natural ingredient that can lower cholesterol. You may see results in as little as 4 weeks. The lower cholesterol you want from the name you trust. Centrum Cardio. Good for your cholesterol, good for the rest of you. 400 milligrams free phytosterols taken twice a day for a total daily intake of at least 800 milligrams as part of the diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol may reduce the risk of heart disease.
Some promising new cancer research. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Why are breast cancer tumors more aggressive in younger women? Duke researcher Kimberly Blackwell believes she has taken a step toward understanding that important question by discovering more than 350 sets of genes that are active in these patients.
What was most interesting is that we were able to identify common elements in young women's tumors, whereas it was all over the board in the older women's tumors.
She hopes this Journal of Clinical Oncology study will lead to more effective treatments for breast cancer tumors that are especially dangerous in women under age 45. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Prosecutors in Los Angeles say they won't file criminal charges against the staff of a hospital where a woman died on the emergency room floor, her screams of pain ignored. She had a perforated bowel and was ignored for 45 minutes as she rolled around on the floor. The hospital was closed except for outpatient care. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
As the price of gas continues to rise, so does the number of fuel-saving experts. Look, the guys at Advanced Auto Parts aren't scientists inventing hydrogen engines or cellulosic ethanol. They got their PhDs in parts. Stuff like air filters, fuel filters, spark plugs, fuel system cleaners, and other things that make cars run more efficiently. Look, if you really want to save money on gas, go buy a bike. Otherwise, head on over to Advanced Auto Parts. They'll show you how to get more miles per gallon. Whatever you're working on, Advanced will help you keep the wheels turning.
It's rush hour. The bus is packed. You've got a seat, but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 14 more stops to go.
Oh, I should have used...
Wait, you already know you should have used Preparation H. But for extra relief, use Preparation H medicated wipes first. Unlike most ordinary wipes that just clean, Preparation H medicated wipes relieve while you clean. Then apply your Preparation H.
Move to the back, please.
Oh, I should have used Preparation H medicated wipes.
From Preparation H, the relief expert uses direct...
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter D. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Add your voice to Peter D.'s America.
Defending the Constitution. Preventing another war. The modest goals of the Peter B. Collins Show today. I'm your humble host. Glad you're listening. A lot of great people will join me today. Professor Francis Boyle, international law expert, first in just a moment. Then Emily Blount will join us to alert you to an action day on Iran. It's a massive effort to call Congress and block the passage of House Resolution 362. Yeah, it calls for a naval blockade of Iran, and hey, we've got a naval blockade war game underway there right now in the Persian Gulf. Isn't that sweet? Also on today's program, Ari Melber from The Nation, their Netroots expert, going to talk about the way people on the web confronted Barack Obama about his shift to the right on FISA in particular. Next hour, Brian Katulis, military expert from the Center for American Progress, will talk with us about the timeline for a U.S. exit from Iraq. And no, it didn't come from a loony Democrat. It's our puppet leader in Baghdad, Nouri al-Maliki. He wants to set a timeline for exit. How about that? Jason Leopold, investigative reporter, will update us on the Hunt family and Roy Hunt's special deal in Kurdistan for that Iraqi oil. And we're also finally going to get you a report. We've been scrambling for a week or two to get an expert on the situation in Zimbabwe. And Emira Woods from the Institute for Policy Studies will be joining us in our third hour in the Free Speed Zone to update us on Robert Mugabe, who's holding on to power there, even though he clearly lost the first round of the election. And it's interesting that at the G8 summit in Hokkaido, Japan, that has been a topic that has kind of diverted the work of that international meeting. All this and more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls, comments, welcome at any moment, 888-573-8372, or the short way to remember, 888-5-PETER-B. And my email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Again, tonight I'll be in on Air America Radio, as I will all week, 8 to 11 p.m. Pacific Time, and you can listen in on the stream at airamerica.com. Among my guests, Joe Galloway and former California State Senator Tom Hayden. It's going to be a great show, so tune in, stream in if you can. Francis Boyle is a professor of international law at the University of Illinois. And he joins us today to give us some commentary on an interesting report issued by two former secretaries of state regarding the War Powers Act. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But my front burner issue about our Constitution revolves around the Fourth Amendment and the Senate debate that got underway today. It apparently will lead to a vote on Wednesday regarding the FISA bill. And this is the one that came out of the House, and I've been very frustrated by the way Democrats have failed to properly oppose it, in my view. Professor Boyle, what is your sense about the damage that could occur if this FISA law is passed in its present form?
Well, basically, it will gut and destroy the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, and we'll be back in the dark days before the original FISA was enacted to deal with the abuses that came out under the Nixon and Johnson administrations. And, you know, you don't even have to believe me. Have a look at today's Wall Street Journal, a neocon source to be sure, that has headline saying revised intelligence law would broaden government surveillance powers. So I think it's pretty clear what's going on here, and I agree with you. It's shameless that the Democrats in the House have caved in. As you know, last I heard, there's still an attempt being made in the Senate by Dodd, Feingold, and Leahy to try to do something about this. And I would hope everyone would contact your senators. You're out there in California. You know, what's going on with Feinstein and Boxer? It seems
well. Boxer opposes it, and Feinstein has been an apologist for it all along. I read some emails that she sent to constituents on this matter, and one of the things that just infuriates me, Professor, is the way they mischaracterize this, that we cannot do nothing. And doing nothing is absolutely the best thing that the House and Senate could have done, because the original FISA law is very broadly written. It's very easy for the government to get a wiretap, even a court order retroactively, 72 hours after they've tapped my phone. And so it is simply hogwash, A, that this is necessary, that we can't live without it, B, that it is the exclusive authority for wiretapping. That's been a fact since 1978, and that exclusive authority didn't stop George Bush.
That's right, and basically what this new so-called FISA Amendment Act will do is have Congress retroactively validate and immunize everything Bush and his hench people have done since at least 9/11, if not beforehand, since there are reports that, you know, they were engaging in spying on American people even before 9/11.
Thank you for raising that. I feel like the only one in the country, and I say it over and over again, Professor. Quest got its demand on February 27th of 2001. And that either means that they were on the case trying to stop a terrorist attack and they failed, or it had nothing to do with terrorism. And Quest has reported that the demand was for access to a local switch. Not international calls, not emails, but calls from Denver to Denver. And I think that the way the Democrats are sweeping this under the rug is really one of the darkest moments of my life of political awareness.
I think it really harkens back to Nixon and the enemies list. I believe, we know, for example, John Bolton put in a request to the NSA for dirt on political opponents to the Bush administration. So it does seem to me that you are correct that they were engaging in illegal and unconstitutional spying even before September 11th against their alleged enemies or adversaries. And again, all this bill will do, if it can't be stopped in the Senate will be to retroactively enact, approve, and immunize everything the Bush administration has done. And effectively, there will be no Fourth Amendment here in the United States except in name. Although, you'll note, even last week, a Republican judge ruled that what they were doing was unconstitutional.
That's right, here in San Francisco.
They're basically trying to reverse a ruling by a Republican judge that I believe was correct, that all these practices were unconstitutional to begin with.
Now, Professor, I want to talk to you about the War Powers Act, but I can't resist one more question. What about post ipso facto? Isn't this FISA bill immunizing people for crimes in the past, and isn't that a constitutional violation?
Well, certainly I think it would be. Winning it in the U.S. Supreme Court will not be easy to do. Fortunately, as you know, 2 weeks ago, the court came down with the Boumediene case, striking down the aspect of the Military Commissions Act whereby Congress tried to strip United States federal courts of jurisdiction to receive writs of habeas corpus from the people detained down in Guantanamo. Now, that, to me, was a real near-death experience for the United States Constitution. If we had lost that and it was a 5-4 vote, you know, you could kiss the Constitution goodbye. The writ of habeas corpus is all that really separates us from a police state.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was very close. Basically, it was Justice Kennedy.
That's right.
So I agree with you, but how this would stand up in the current court, you know, it would all really depend on Justice Kennedy and how he sees it, because we now have four justices up there from this right-wing, reactionary, totalitarian Federalist Society. Alito, Roberts, who, by the way, lied about his membership in the Federalist Society, Scalia, and Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And all four of them fully believe in the imperial presidency, and giving whatever powers they possibly can to the presidency.
We're talking with Professor Francis Boyle at the University of Illinois. And I'm sorry to jump in, Professor, but I only have about 3 minutes remaining.
Sure.
And I want to give you a chance to comment on this report issued by James Baker and Warren Christopher, former secretaries of state of the two parties. And in some, they agree that the War Powers Act that was passed after Vietnam has been widely ignored, and they're proposing a 2009 War Powers Consultation Act that essentially would cause the White House to consult with the Gang of Eight, the same people who were notified about these wiretaps and apparently did nothing. And so I'm curious what your sense is, because I'm turning into more of a rigid constitutionalist, and I really would like to adhere to the language in the Constitution about war powers.
Well, you're correct. The report, which I'm almost done reading right now, operates on the unconstitutional principle that there are shared powers between the President and Congress with respect to war powers. That simply is not correct. The Constitution clearly gives Congress all the war powers under Article 1, Section 8. The President does have authority to repel sudden attacks upon the United States and its armed forces, but that's it. The net result of this proposed act, which I have read, would basically be to give some new president a blank check to wage whatever type of war he wants to under whatever pretext he can concoct. And the requirement for consultation, that's already in the current War Powers Resolution. And a series of presidents, both Democrats and Republicans, have either failed or refused or only grudgingly consulted with Congress. So the real problem here is not with the War Powers Resolution itself, which is very carefully drafted to close all the loopholes for presidential war-making going back to Harry Truman and the unconstitutional Korean War, which killed 36,000 men, and the Vietnam War, which killed 58,000 men of my generation. That's not the problem. The problem is, as we're seeing across the board under the Bush administration, how do we enforce the Constitution and the statutes already on the books against the president and an administration that couldn't care less what the Constitution says. And indeed, as you know, this president has been publicly reported to have called the Constitution nothing more than, quote, a goddamn piece of paper, unquote.
Yes, he did.
That is the problem. Mm-hmm. And this new approach by Baker and Christopher is a wholesale giveaway to the imperial presidency that will permit a future president basically to attack and invade pretty much any country anytime he wants.
And let's hope we can stop any attack on Iran forthcoming. Professor,
well,
I want to thank you. I thank you for your comments, and if I may, I'll keep you in our Rolodex, and we will consult with you in the future.
Sure, happy to speak with you again, and I think everyone out there has to get on the phone immediately to Feinstein and Boxer and say, we want a filibuster of this Fifth Amendment Act because we want to keep the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution alive and well and kicking.
Well said. Thank you, Professor.
Thank you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Coming up next, an alert about Iran and an action day tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235.
That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
The staff and management of Natura Vita welcome all to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas. Learn firsthand about traditional and modern natural health products and practices while enjoying delicious and healthy food in a fun, clean, and family-friendly atmosphere. Smoothies, anyone? Come to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant, conveniently located at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to get a lot of complaints about that song, but as long as Bush and Cheney have Iran in their sights, we'll play it. And remind people that John McCain has tried to sing that in public settings. It's kind of sick. Emily Blau joins us now. She's legislative director for the National Iranian American Council. And they are calling for a day of action on Wednesday, urging you to contact your member of Congress and urge them to oppose House Resolution 362. Emily, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very concerned about this, and we've been talking about the issues between the U.S. and Iran and the threat of military action for almost 2 years now. And I'd like listeners to know that when I'm on Air America tonight, we'll lead off the show at 8 o'clock Pacific with Colonel Sam Gardner, the retired Air Force colonel who monitors open news sources and has, according to Seymour Hersh, collected some astounding news accounts of recent events inside Iran. And Cy Hersh reported $400 million. Was diverted to special ops designed to soften up and maybe find targets in Iran. And with HRES 362, Emily Blout, the House is in a non-binding resolution calling for a naval blockade of Iran at a moment when we have war games underway in the Persian Gulf that are pretty close to that.
That's correct, Peter. We feel this is just going in the wrong direction. It's a continuation of the same failed policy of sanctions and war rhetoric that's really getting us nowhere. And so we're hoping that Congress is going to step back and look at this resolution for what it is and our actions in the past and call for a new approach towards Iran.
Have you identified specific members who you think need a little reminder about the debacle the Bush administration has already created? And even the words of Mike Mullen, that opening up a third front would be very stressful for the American military.
Well, I don't think it's anyone needs reminding about this administration. I think it's more that members are searching for a way to address the challenge that Iran poses. And they felt as if this resolution was one way to address it. And unfortunately, it is not. That's really going in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me what your advice is for this day of action tomorrow. What should people do?
Well, my advice is, first of all, log on to our website. It's niacouncil.org. And you'll be able to get your members' information and their phone number. And there's some talking points there. And there's information about the bill. And call your member of Congress and say, hey, look, take another look at this resolution. Take another look at our strategy thus far towards Iran and start calling for a new approach. And that new approach really needs to be diplomacy.
Well, and should we remind them of the national intelligence estimate that says that Iran disbanded its efforts to develop a nuclear weapon in 2005?
Absolutely. But also just consider that we've had about 30 years of sanctions and we have not spoken to Iran in 30 years, and that's failed. Iran continues to develop its nuclear program and continues to be unhelpful, to say the least, in Iraq and the greater Middle East. And this is actually just empowering the hardliners and those who we have these tension-filled relations with and those who we feel we cannot speak to. So I'd really just advocate those members to step back, take a look at this, and
I'm about to talk on Peter.
Rescind either the co-sponsorship or
Emily,
others to do so.
Thank you. Emily, we've got Jim in San Francisco who's in front of Nancy Pelosi's office. Jim, you got 20 seconds. What are you doing?
Okay, we're here. There's about 50 people, and it's not all from the left. I've got the fellow from the Libertarian Party here. Here he is.
Hi.
Hi, guys. We only have about 10 seconds. What are you there for?
I'm here to stop these congressional resolutions that are going to cause a war with Iran.
Okay.
Gas prices are through the roof, and we've got to stop this.
All right. Call your member of Congress. Emily, thank you very much, and Jim, thanks for the call. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The sun provides warmth, but it can also provide cooling. Think of all those air conditioners running on electricity from solar panels. Diana Ungerleiter put a $50,000 solar array on her roof last year, and her electric meter is still spinning, only now...
It's actually spinning backwards, meaning that the electricity being generated by my solar panels is feeding back into the grid.
She spoke with CBS News correspondent Phil Whitaker.
So last year you paid $220 for a two-month period.
Right.
And this year
this year $14. Right. I've saved, like, I think over $1,000 in 1 year.
California, more than all the other states combined, is putting its famous sun to work, as we'll hear after this.
Cubicles, temporary housing for the business world. Corporate America's way of saying close but no cigar, or door, or dignity. These open-air monuments to labor leave you exposed to all the workplace elements, and yet there you sit every day waiting to upgrade. Well, at Budget Rent-A-Car, we're in the upgrading business. To prove it, we're offering you the big boy upgrade. A single-class upgrade every time you rent a car. It's just one more way Budget is upgrading the entire rental car experience. We call it big boy service without the big boy prices. Too long a motto to hang in a cube, but a good way to make sure that all the services we offer, from e-receipt to fast brake, get you on the road faster and happier. So if you want the big boy upgrade, stick a note on that half a wall you call a workstation and remind yourself to rent like a genius. Show off your business sense and you can get a single class upgrade every time you rent. Just go to budget.com/upgrade. Rent Budget and rent like a genius.
Subject to availability. See website for full terms and conditions.
Solar energy does have its critics. Severin Borenstein, a professor of business and public policy at the University of California at Berkeley, is one of them.
Right now, solar photovoltaic power is still very, very expensive compared not just to fossil fuels, but compared to the other renewable sources that are out there.
Yet California's governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, recently announced that Southern California Edison is installing solar cells on 65 million square feet of commercial rooftops in the next 5 years.
When it's complete, it will produce enough power for 162,000 homes.
At a Napa winery, the sun now is both ripening the grapes and providing all the electricity. At the new Contessa Premium Foods plant in Los Angeles, where they process, package, and ship tons of frozen vegetables every day, paper-thin solar panels now cover a roof the size of two football fields.
It's almost like putting 200,000 refrigerators all in one place.
CEO John Blazevich says it has cut their electric bills.
In half, which is significant for an operation that requires so much energy. It can be done, and we did it.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too. Meow.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So my question, does Barack Obama have memory loss? Barack. You mind if I call you Barack? Don't you remember when you were courting progressive voters like me back in January? You said that you would join Russ Feingold and Chris Dodd in a filibuster to prevent an abusive FISA Amendments Act with immunity for telecoms to pass? John Nichols has a post at thenation.com about this morning's debate in the United States Senate, and it opens this way. Just imagine if Barack Obama had kept his primary season pledge to take the lead in opposing efforts by the Bush administration to rewrite the FISA Act to protect the president and telecoms that cooperated with his illegal, warrantless wiretapping schemes. Obama could have stood on the floor of the U.S. Senate today, claiming all the attention that is accorded the likely nominee, to leap over the spin doctors and speak directly to the American people about the need to defend our constitutionally defined right to privacy. And the article goes on and says that's what Obama could have done, but instead it was Russ Feingold who said, "Mr. President, I strongly support Senator Dodd's amendment to strike the immunity provision from this bill, and I want to thank the senator for his leadership. Now, Mr. President, some have tried to suggest that the bill before us will leave it to the courts to decide whether or not to give retroactive immunity to the companies that participated in the president's illegal wiretapping program." Although the senator added allegedly there, I'll correct myself. "Make no mistake, this bill will result in immunity being granted because it sets up a rigged process with only one possible outcome." I think this is a dark day. And John Nichols' colleague, Ari Melber from The Nation, joins us now. He is the guy who watches all the Netroots activity for The Nation. And Ari, thank you for joining us. It's been a pretty momentous week where as many as 20,000 people logged on to Barack Obama's website, urging him not to support this ugly compromise that came out of the House after originating in the Senate and Jay Rockefeller's Intelligence Committee. Give us a quick sketch of how the Netroots have pushed back, and to what extent did Senator Obama respond?
Yeah, basically you had a large group of people self-organized very quickly through the social network tools that the Obama campaign provides. And to their credit, while Obama has clearly backtracked on civil liberties, his website remains open, and that is different than most political websites and most political events and email lists that people use, even on the left. So they were able to organize there and become, in short order, the largest group on his site, pressing Obama for dropping his filibuster pledge and for his rather weak and confusing defense of the change of heart on surveillance. At a minimum, you can say that they did more than the mainstream media, and they got Barack Obama to issue a much more detailed response, at least explaining why he says he still supports immunity but will not filibuster and will actually support what his colleagues are calling a compromise, what is actually, of course, a terrible capitulation to the White House desire to validate warrantless surveillance. I should note the statement he issued was double the length of the original statement he provided to the press. It was more detailed, although Glenn Greenwald at Salon.com and others have pointed out where it comes up short.
Indeed.
You can say in terms of media activism, they got a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that I appreciate. What I wanted to see, though, was the next step, where Senator Obama, modified a position or took a position directly as a result of this grassroots communication. And
yeah,
I didn't get to watch the debate this morning. Perhaps you saw some of it. Was Senator Obama participating, and what did he say?
I have not seen any indication. I was not watching the entire debate on C-SPAN, but I haven't seen any indication that he did come in or did change his position to support the filibuster. And he was in Washington today for a conference. And the group, I should mention, has been moving on to press other senators and to thank other senators. They've organized on Facebook, the social networking portal, to really tout Russ Feingold's leadership here, as my colleague John Nichols has as well from the piece you read. So they're doing positive and pressure organizing. But no, Barack Obama, beyond responding, hasn't changed his substantive position on this, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And just to briefly recap, I direct people to HuffingtonPost.com, do a search for Glenn Greenwald, and you can see his well-articulated responses to the comments posted by Senator Obama. And there are really two things here, Ari, that I find unacceptable from the senator's remarks. One is that he buys into the false choices presented by the Republicans and embraced by Pelosi and many other Democrats that we could not do nothing. And we know that if no action were taken right now, that the 1978 FISA law would remain in full effect. That the government can go to that court, ask for wiretap authority even 72 hours after they've begun to monitor somebody's communications, and that less than one half of 1% of the requests to that court have been modified or denied over a 20-plus year period. And so it's very empty, and it's an insult, I think, to intelligent, well-informed Americans to suggest that they had no choice. They had to take some action, and that this compromise is the only available route for them.
Yeah, it's a huge problem that once the Democrats capitulate, they then add insult to injury by trying to spin, you know, their own supporters and their sophisticated activists that I mentioned who cut right through this. And it is a huge farce, and it is a huge problem. There was an op-ed on the New York Times, editorial page today by Mort Halperin, who himself was a victim of surveillance and has worked in several administrations and is a progressive on many issues. But he has basically made the argument you just tore down about how this had to happen. It was, quote, better than nothing. Well, we're not talking about nothing. We're talking about the rule of law regime that was a bipartisan agreement for decades to basically conduct court oversight of our surveillance, and that system needs to be restored, not weakened.
Well, I agree with you. Mort Halperin's column, his op-ed piece, really surprised me as I read it today, knowing his own history as somebody whose communications were intercepted back in the Nixon years. And likewise, Nancy Soderbergh, who is she was Deputy National Security Advisor in the Clinton administration, published an op-ed that Glenn Greenwald also ripped apart. It was last Saturday in the Los Angeles Times. A co-author of hers is coming on the show next, Brian Katulis from the Center for American Progress. I won't blame her for him for her sins, but I do want to see what he has to say about that.
I hope you can get into it. I mean, Brian, I have tremendous respect for his work and his service. Nancy is also served her country with distinctions. They've done good work. But there is a real breakdown here when the progressive institutions, both of them being affiliated with them, and Open Society Institute and Mr. Halperin and others, basically rush in to validate what the Democratic Party is saying. These institutions don't need to carry water for a Democratic capitulation. They can continue to explain the problems here. So maybe we get it right in the future as we build political power, not creating, you know, this cover.
Yeah, I was disappointed to hear my radio pal Ed Schultz today say that he doesn't have any problem with Obama's flip on this position. And next time I have a chance, I'm going to give Ed a talk about that because I just can't agree with that. Ari,
do you have time to make one more recommendation?
Yeah, go ahead.
It doesn't just have to be these, you know, liberal activists and folks we're talking about. I would urge readers to go to the American Conservative website and look at some of the blogging they've been doing on this issue. It's from a more traditionally conservative perspective, but they talk again about how this all comes back to whether you want the third branch involved doing oversight. Regardless of party, regardless of who's president, do you want oversight or do you want unchecked runaway government power? This is an area where at least traditionally the left and the right can agree when we have intellectual honesty, and I think the American Conservative, to its great credit, has done some excellent journalism here, unlike the partisans who would both defend George Bush for his abuse of the rule of law or Barack Obama for shifting. We're seeing, unfortunately, some of that in, you know, across the spectrum.
Well, that's a very interesting point, Ari, and it leads me to an issue I wanted to bring up, which is the implication from the comments of Democratic leaders is that this issue is not a good one for Democrats to run on this November. And so they're trying to get this out of the way and hope that our amnesia is in full effect by November and that nobody's going to remember that they sold us out on our privacy rights and the Fourth Amendment right to probable cause. And I just think that is ass backwards, because if Barack Obama championed this issue, it would enhance his appeal to independents and many Republicans who view the Constitution as central to our form of government as you and I do. And I believe that he could pull in a lot of crossover votes if he made this a defining issue of the campaign. Instead, they're running away from it.
I think so, too. You know, Peter, they say you take your problems with you wherever you go. That's going to be true for Democratic candidates. You don't take these security attacks, particularly those based on lies, off the table. What you have to do is show strong principled leadership to the public that you want to prosecute, you know, the people that would do us harm, protect the country, and be true to our values. We don't cancel elections simply because that might make us, quote-unquote, safer. And we don't cancel the Constitution or our constitutional rights. Barack Obama, I think, has been articulate on that in the past. And I do think it can be surely a political winner when you lead from the heart with a bold, clear, proud security plan that respects American values. We've been having this debate for years here, and it is in what we've seen in 2006 and in leaders like Jim Webb and John Tester winning in red states who are anti-war and pro-civil liberties for the most part because they intuited that to the voters. They didn't look like they didn't know where they stood.
Jim Webb has one of the safest seats. He's got 4 years before he has to run for re-election. And he's supporting this ugly FISA law. Why?
Well, I would say, just to be clear, what I mean is when he was running, by the way, for the first time as a senator and running strong anti-war at a time when we were hearing these similar arguments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. But I am not understanding why Jim Webb doesn't want to take this administration on wiretapping.
Right. I don't know. For now, of course, it's disappointing that he's doing that. I don't know. I mean, again, I think part of the problem is what we've seen before is once these things flip and become sort of the inevitable conventional wisdom in Washington, then you have not only the Democratic politicians, but as I mentioned earlier, the Democratic thinking set, the basically the policy elite tripping over themselves to just, as we said, quote unquote, take it off the table. I assume from what I've seen that he is part of that group and doesn't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ari Melber. He's the Netroots. What is your exact title? Netroots editor?
We call it a Net Movement. I'm a Net Movement correspondent.
Net Movement correspondent for The Nation magazine. You can read his work at thenation.com. He also freelances for other publications. So just Google him up. Ari, A-R-I, Melber, M-E-L-B-E-R. We're going to take a break and return with Ari. If you have a comment about the FISA debate that's underway in Washington and your rights to freedom from unlawful search and seizure without a court order, I'd like to hear from you. Of course, your calls are subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency with support of many Democrats. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Joshua Emerson Smith is taking your calls today.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Scripta di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Scripta di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Scripta di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Friendly Marina. Browse to fruttidimargrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Bill, call Elvis. This is Buddy Holmes. Call Elvis. We won't know. But it'll keep building. I'm going to get to the phone. Call Elvis. We continue our discussion about the controversial FISA capitulation, heavy complicity by Democrats on this. Ari Melber with us from The Nation magazine. Read his work at thenation.com. And Ari, you know, this strains rationality to try to figure out why the Democrats are doing this. We just talked before the break about the political calculations that don't wash, or at least not with the information available to little people like you and me. But one listener from Salem, Oregon, Bobby, raised a question in an email the other day, and it's not, you know, beyond contemplation, and that is, well, what if Pelosi and others are being blackmailed as the result of wiretapped or other information that was accessed under this illegal wiretapping program. Now, as soon as I say it, I hasten to add that, you know, it's kind of a wild speculative question. At the same time, the kind of secrecy and the kind of collusion between Democrats and the White House leads us to ask all kinds of questions, this one included.
Sure, I think it's very fair to ask tough questions, whether the probability is, a, you know, 90%, 10% or lower. This is how you do research and think these ideas through. What we know from past abuse of surveillance in this country is that the abuse was far more frequently used to simply discredit people, for example, in the civil rights movement, rather than to blackmail them, because especially when you're dealing with opposition political leaders, if even one decide to go and use that information publicly, that could be very damaging, so that just at a very practical level, you're not going to see necessarily as much blackmail abuse as smearing and distortive abuse. But having said that, you know, there are definitely questions still surrounding the incredible federal resources that were brought to bear to investigate, say, former Attorney General and former Governor Elliot Spitzer in New York. Mm-hmm. And there were Republicans involved in that. We saw Republican corruption at the Justice Department and what cases and prosecutions were brought. So clearly, we should be asking the tough question about the abuse of the system across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, for the reasons I just said, I actually am not under the impression that blackmail would be the most likely form of abuse at this juncture.
I hear you. Now, one of the other things that I see the outlines of, and again, I'm shifting into pure speculation mode here, Ari, is that the Republicans in the White House mouthpieces were screaming bloody murder about how they had to have the Protect America Act extended beyond its expiration date at the end of February. And Bush gave a couple of really shrill speeches. Cheney was out there fearing everybody up. And then they went quiet. And I got to look back, and sometime I'll review this in detail, but it strikes me that in March or early April, things started to get a lot chummier. And it was at that time that Maxine Waters and Barbara Lee and other progressive members of Congress shared their concerns with me that there would be a cave-in on FISA. And so I can't prove anything. I can only say that I see the outlines of a really ugly backroom deal that was cut between the White House and the Democratic leadership.
Absolutely. I mean, I have followed this closely for some time. I actually wrote a column for Politico a few months back detailing how not only the shrill speeches you mentioned, but also the attempt to dial up the pressure through some independent ad campaigns had actually stalled or failed, it seemed, at the time. So that, yes, when the Republicans and the immunity apologists and the telecoms went really shrill and negative, it did not seem to work for them. But from what we know, it does appear that Steny Hoyer and other people in the House Democratic leadership worked then behind the scenes to bring down the temperature to say, once this Democratic primary ends, we can sit down with the lobbyists and craft some kind of deal. And then we saw, of course, way too many Democrats go along and describe this as some sort of compromise, quote-unquote, when even the Republicans at the time the bill was passing were crowing publicly that they got more than they expected, everything they wanted. So, yes, it does seem that there was a well-timed, from the perspective of the White House, attempt to smooth this over once the Democratic presidential primary ended.
And so the political calculus is that by getting this stuff out of the way, Democrats are going to win even bigger in November? I simply don't get it.
I don't buy it either, but yes, look, one of the problems here is we've got folks who make these political calculations, lose, but then make the same calculation again. I mean, we heard from leadership about this argument about the Iraq War, about the Detainee Treatment Act, about the Homeland Security Bill, and finally about the Military Commissions Act, all of which, as you know, and you've done, of course, great scrutiny on these issues, were passed in the run-up to midterm elections.
Mm-hmm.
And the right wing doesn't run out of bad ideas, I'm afraid. So there's talk about an internment or preventive detention proposal, and that is the kind of thing you would likely see but right before the next election. We can't have a mentality that says you take issues off the table until there's no issues left to fight for.
Yeah. And on the other hand, they're not doing anything to really solve the most critical problems of the American people, the declining value of the dollar, the high cost of gasoline, the health care issues. You know, these are rhetorical things they talk about for the future, but we don't see a lot of action on them in the near term. Nancy in Winters, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're talking to me and Ari Melber.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Ari. Yeah, just a quick comment before I get to my comment that I called about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people do get blackmailed, and I also think there's probably people who feel threatened. I mean, all they have to do is look at what happened to Don Siegelman and the CEO at Quest to wonder if that could happen to them.
You make a good point, Nancy.
And then what I called about is, in addition to this FISA thing, I was reading the other day in the paper that the FBI may be allowed to investigate American citizens just based on profiling.
Yeah, that's right.
And so all this taken together is extremely disturbing. I mean, it's like this march to totalitarian rule, which
let me just throw one more toxin into the brew, Nancy, and that is the national security letters authorized by the Patriot Act that allow the FBI to come to your house, search it, and force you to sign a document that says you will never reveal that the FBI was there searching your house.
Mm-hmm.
And this is these are the rudimentary building blocks of a police state, and we've got to call it as we see it. Ari?
I agree. The letters are particularly weird. It's almost like science fiction because they claim that they're sort of classifying part of your brain. In other words, you can't know or speak to the knowledge thereof that's inside your head. You know, you can think about what kind of relationship that is with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the tools of a police state. And I think, again, the media has largely missed the boat describing this in partisan terms. A lot of the civil libertarians I talk to expect Barack Obama to become president. They like him and trust him more than the current president. But they have a fundamental vision of the founding, you know, the founding arguments about how we separate powers in this country. So it doesn't matter that he would be wielding them. And I hope people, you know, can continue to press, you know, Barack Obama and continue to put these issues front and center if the media and the candidates are not going to.
Ari Melber, TheNation.com. Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right. Grab a podcast and share it with a friend. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Oil prices fall sharply for a second day.
By year's end, we could easily see crude prices back down to around $100.
A Senate Democrat claims a climate change cover-up.
This cover-up is being directed from the White House and the office of the vice president.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The price of crude oil, which dropped $4 yesterday, is down another $5 today, settling in New York at just under $136 a barrel. Energy consultant Jim Ritterbusch says it looks like a normal market correction and there might be new highs to come, but over a longer term, he expects prices to moderate.
By year's end, we could easily see crude prices back down to around $100, maybe $90 in that area. I don't think that's out of reach. That would equate to a decline in gasoline prices at the pump down toward $3, $3.25.
But before the end of the year, Energy Department analyst Doug McIntyre says gasoline prices will keep rising.
We expect them to peak sometime in the fall at somewhere around the neighborhood of $4.25 a gallon.
The latest call for alternative energy comes from an unlikely source, oil tycoon T. Boone Pickens. He's investing billions in a Texas wind farm and says we should fuel our cars with natural gas.
It would reduce our imports by 38%. Which would save us $300 billion a year in this country.
Interviewed for the CBS Evening News, Pickens said world oil production has peaked. Now this.
A message from the Orbitz Traveler Wellness Center.
Hello, Dr. Martin Pakulski-Blatz here. I just want to tell you about the Orbitz Great American Sale, where you can save 30% on hotels in great American cities. So get going, because really, is there anything more American than America? No, there isn't. So head over to Orbitz.com today and save.
Valid for travel 7-7-08 through 11-24-08, book by 831-08, see site for details.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula. An extra moisturizer they never even told us about. See, they're humble, too. So if you want eye drops that do the job, and then some, get Clear Eyes. Use as directed.
The Bush administration, again, is accused of doctoring data on climate change. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
California Democrat Barbara Boxer has been looking into how testimony from a top government doctor warning of severe health consequences of global warming got changed by the White House before it was delivered to her Senate committee. Today, she produced a former EPA official who said Vice President Cheney's office was behind it.
This censorship was not haphazard.
It was part of a master plan.
There have been a series of similar cases of scientific reports on global warming being suppressed. Senate Leader Harry Reid.
I don't know if that's criminal. I doubt it. Okay? But I know it's immoral.
The White House says it routinely edits agency testimony when its own scientists have concerns and insists that's all that happened here. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Food and Drug Administration has ordered black box safety warnings on Cipro and other strong antibiotics. The drugs have been linked to tendon ruptures, which can leave the patient incapacitated and require surgery to repair. After 42 years, CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports the Federal Trade Commission has changed its mind about allowing claims that make some cigarettes seem safer than others.
The FTC is proposing that cigarette makers remove little labels from their ads and their packaging that state that these cigarettes have been tested by an FTC-approved testing method that shows that they are lower in tar or in nicotine. The FTC basically saying today those tests are meaningless. They don't tell you anything about whether a smoker is less likely to get ill because of the level of tar and nicotine in the product.
Some at Guantanamo Bay have languished nearly 7 years. Now a federal judge in Washington has put their cases on a fast track. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has the story.
The federal judge in charge of sorting out 200 detainee cases served notice that he will move quickly and warned Justice Department lawyers that they need to put aside other cases to make this a top priority. Government attorneys told Judge Thomas Hogan that they're trying to find countries to send the 54 prisoners that have been cleared for release. Judge Hogan conceded that some detainees are dangerous, but now that the Supreme Court has ruled, they deserve their day in court.
Hurricane Bertha has weakened to a Category 1 storm with top winds of 85 miles per hour. Forecasters expect it to weaken further as it approaches Bermuda. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Get the good! At Napa Auto Parts, we know you want to keep your engine looking just as good as it runs. That's why we've got the world's number one selling engine degreaser for only $1.99 a can. Stop in today for Gunk Engine Bright or Gunk Foamy Engine Bright and remove tough grease and grime from practically any engine. They're just $1.99 each, and you can save even more with a $1 mail-in rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Now you can lower cholesterol by taking a Centrum multivitamin. Introducing Centrum Cardio, the first and only leading complete multivitamin that can lower cholesterol. Centrum Cardio contains Corawise, a natural ingredient that can lower cholesterol. You may see results in as little as 4 weeks. The lower cholesterol you want from the name you trust. Centrum Cardio. Good for your cholesterol, good for the rest of you. 400 milligrams free phytosterols taken twice a day for a total daily intake of at least 800 milligrams as part of a diet low in saturated fat and cholesterol.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Jason Leopold makes his weekly visit to the Peter B. Collins Show. He reports that Dennis Kucinich is introducing a new article of impeachment. But first, as the Republicans would say, a politician has called for a date for defeat in Iraq, and it's Maliki. That's Springsteen, and I don't know if he knows it, but he's actually channeling a comment that John Kerry made when he returned from Vietnam to oppose the continuation of that war. Who will be the last to die for a mistake? Brian Katulis joins us this half hour, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He's worked very closely with Lawrence J. Korb there to offer articles and commentary on Redirecting America's Misguided Foreign Policy. He is co-author of a new book called The Prosperity Agenda, which is about U.S. national security, and it is due to be published any day. And at the Center for American Progress, he also serves as an advisor to the Middle East Progress Project, and he's been a consultant to numerous U.S. agencies and private corporations and NGOs in 24 countries, including Iraq, Pakistan, Yemen, Egypt, Colombia, Morocco, and Bangladesh. So he's very well versed on these issues. Brian, welcome back to our program today.
Thanks for having me back on.
Always good to talk with you. And before we dive into the issues about Iraq and the commentary of Mr. al-Maliki, I just wanted to ask you, because your new book is co-authored with Nancy Soderbergh. She was a deputy national security advisor and also an ambassador to the UN back in the Clinton years. And she wrote an op-ed, and I don't want to put you in the awkward spot of having to explain her comments, but I just want to ask you, because this came up in the previous half hours, we're talking about the way the Democrats are capitulating on the FISA law. And I'm deeply disturbed at what's going on, and I see people like Morton Halperin and Nancy Soderbergh and other members of the Democratic establishment kind of closing ranks around this ugly sellout. And I just want to know what your thoughts are. Again, I'm not trying to ask you to explain your co-writer, your co-author's thoughts, but just the larger issue of people like her and Halperin who are supporting what I think is one of the ugliest compromises the Democrats have engaged in a long time.
Well, you know, first I have to say that though Nancy and I just wrote a book and agree on most issues, I don't think we see eye to eye completely on the FISA legislation, and I may be more inclined to your perspective on these, but I haven't heard the last half hour of your program. I do think that there's a phenomenon. It's not only related to FISA. I actually think it's also related to Iraq national security in general. This is the part of the silly season, I call it, where there's the mad dash to run to the middle and split differences. And, you know, that's not what I'm saying she's doing in the FISA op-ed, because but I certainly think that people are trying to pull the Democratic Party and the Senate, Senator Barack Obama's campaign, towards some sort of ill-defined center on Iraq, and not for any good basis that's grounded in our values or what our national security interests are, but simply because they think it's good politics. And I just think that that's not the right approach.
Well, I don't even think it's good politics. I think the good politics would be to stand for the Constitution and our Fourth Amendment, and I think that would draw some of those independent and disaffected Republicans that Obama is going after.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I've been embroiled in some of these debates in a public way, on Iraq in particular. And I think that we earn greater respect, our leaders earn greater respect from our voters when we stake out positions that we believe in, as opposed to hedge and try to do the poll-tested, this is what's necessary. Now, you know, that doesn't address the substance of the FISA issue, which I think we haven't had enough of a debate over. I fear that it hasn't been broadly debated. It certainly sounds like your program has addressed it, but I don't know that our leaders in Congress have done a thorough airing of this in the way that I think we did have a fair debate on Iraq, at least in 2006.
Well, Brian, let me just give you one example. There's a guy named Mark Klein here in San Francisco, used to work for AT&T. He's been very public about what he knows about the secret room where the switch was installed that diverted communications so they could be monitored by the NSA. He has asked to testify before Waxman, before Conyers, any committee of the House or Senate that would have him, and they do not invite him. They don't want to know. And I find this so perplexing. It's really, you can tell, it's driving me bonkers.
Right. No, and I think it's important for you to continue hammering on that point, because we are in that mode, I think, when it comes every even year, especially every presidential election year. But every 2 years or so, you have this positioning as opposed to standing up and taking bold positions that are grounded in our Constitution and in our values, and also, frankly, what's right for our country on Iraq and Afghanistan and a whole host of other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian Katulis is with us from the Center for American Progress, and I just got word from my producer, Katrina Rill, that Glenn Greenwald will be joining us tomorrow, 3:30 Pacific time. That's in our first hour on the program. He is the attorney and blogger who has written very effectively about this issue, and I look forward to talking with him. That's tomorrow, again, 3:30 Pacific time. So, Brian, I didn't ask you to talk about that today, but thanks for indulging me. What I did want to ask you about is this remarkable statement from al-Maliki on a visit to the Arab Emirates, the UAE, over the last 48 hours, where he has restated that he would like to see the United States set a date for its exit from Iraq. And this is very interesting because if people go to thinkprogress.org, which is a blog affiliated with you folks at the Center for American Progress, the quotes from President Bush are right there. A couple of years back, he was asked, if Maliki asks us to leave, will we do it? And he said, yes, but Maliki will never do that, so he's not worried. Well, that day of reckoning has come, Brian, and what is the response from the White House?
Well, the White House and the State Department, both yesterday and today, are trying to recharacterize and reframe Maliki's remarks. And let's be clear, it's not even just the prime minister of the country. It's a range of Iraqi officials who, in the context of these discussions over a long-term security agreement, have been saying, we need some sort of principled, specific date for when troops get out. And the back and forth is really interesting, in my view, because I think the State Department and the White House has been trying to hedge it and say, well, no, this is what they meant. And a range of Iraqi leaders, including Wafiq Rabai, who is the National Security Advisor in Iraq, is basically trying to set the record straight, saying, yes, you know, these talks are about a withdrawal date. It's not all of the things that the White House spokesman were saying, that these are not, you know, specifically he said these are not talks about a hard date. And this makes sense because the Iraqis want their country back. Their interest in asserting their own sovereignty over their own borders has grown. This is natural. This is what happens when people, you know, feel like they're being occupied by a foreign troop presence. And with the Iraqi elections coming up, possibly provincial elections this year and national elections next year, the different Iraqi leaders will be more inclined to actually make statements like this and say, look, you know, this is our country, and we want it back.
So in May of 2007, President Bush said, we're there at the invitation of the Iraqi government. It's a sovereign nation. 12 million people went to the polls to approve a constitution. It's their government's choice. If they were to say, leave, we would leave. But the response from the White House, or actually from the Pentagon today, spokesman Brian Whitman, kind of went into that bob and weave language that they've used that, well, it's dependent on conditions on the ground. He didn't even ask, mention that we'll consult with the generals on the ground. But we're in this catch-22, Brian Katulis, where they say the surge is working and that violence is down in Iraq. I'm not overly persuaded about that. I think it's anecdotal and there are other factors that play into it. And therefore, we should be able to leave, right? Things are better and the government's asserting itself. There are more Iraqi troops able to function properly. But then, no, we can't set a date because, well, that's where I get lost.
Well, you know, I think a big part of the exercise over the last 18 months or so has been trying to help President Bush clean up some of the messes that his administration has made to put the best face on a pretty bad situation. And what some of our soldiers on the ground call putting lipstick on a pig, making things look a lot better than they actually are. And I agree with the general contours of what you've said in terms of I think this notion that the surge worked, end quote, really needs to be questioned when you still have anywhere from 10 to 20% of Iraqis displaced from their homes and you've got pretty awful levels of violence and you don't have much progress forward in terms of reconciliation. So, but all of this takes place in the context, going back to the point I was making, where Iraqis want back control of their country, and they're going to increasingly assert this. And the more that the Bush administration, or John McCain, by the way, because John McCain has indicated that he wants to stay there for a long time, the more that they don't recognize this reality, the more it's going to harm our interests in that part of the world, that we need to adopt a different approach, and I think it needs to be sending that signal that we're on our way out.
Brian Katulis with us from the Center for American Progress. As we continue, we'll go to the phones, get your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm going to ask him about the Obama flip-flops about Iraq. Real or a media creation? That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambley, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA, and it's very quiet out there right now. Monterey, Santa Cruz, and Salinas are all currently checking in, stalling accident-free. Looking at Highway 17 as you go through the Santa Cruz Mountains, problem-free in both directions. You are going to run into that slow traffic when you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz with the usual slow-and-go traffic on southbound 1. As you make your way down into Aptos, Highway 68, so far so good. No problems to tell you about there. 101 Salinas currently checking in problem-free, and you are seeing some heavy traffic southbound 101 from Coyote Creek Golf Drive as you make your way down into Morgan Hill this afternoon. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. At Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, we'd love to hear about it. Give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. My guest is Brian Katulis, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington, co-author of a new book due out shortly called The Prosperity Agenda, What the World Wants from America and What We Need in Return. And Brian, what's your publication date?
It'll be in bookstores July 28th, on Amazon already, pre-order and available on the 21st.
Okay. Well, as soon as it's officially published and we get a copy, I'll actually read it, and then we'll invite you on the show to talk about it.
That'll be great.
Such a deal, eh?
Yes.
Richard in Fortuna, thanks for calling the PBC show. You're on with me and Brian Katulis.
Thank you. Hi, Peter. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Richard.
Questions. The first one is, what do we do when Obama turns into McCain-Lite? Who's our next choice? And the second one is, what are the odds that the president of Iraq's going to be assassinated?
That's interesting. First of all, to your first question, I direct you to Bob Herbert's op-ed column in the New York Times today called Lurching with Abandon about Barack Obama. It is challenging. I have to say, Richard, it's frustrating for me. Not that I felt that he was the most progressive candidate. Kucinich clearly occupied that space in the
Absolutely.
Democratic primaries. But I did not expect him to repudiate his own comments, particularly about the FISA law. And I've been around long enough. I think I'm a big boy. I've seen politicians start on the left and move to the center. But some of these things he's embraced, like beating up the Supreme Court for setting a floor for capital punishment, I think that unintentionally the Supreme Court offered us a pretty progressive development there. And yet he chose to appeal to a certain part of the electorate around that issue. So it is difficult. Brian, do you have any comments?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's not a done deal on some of these issues, and I think making sure that he's got inside of his tent people that are advising him to stay away from, you know, the mad dash to that middle, I think is important.
Well, let me ask you this. Is Lawrence Korb still being consulted by the Obama campaign?
Well, Lawrence is. I am, too, and there are a range of people who are involved in those circles.
Good, good, because the recent people who've been added, many of them, you know, ex-Clinton officials, left me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, but again, these are, I think, open debates, and I think there's still a strong contrast. The other thing, frankly, I know we're all focused on the presidentials, and then I think that's paramount, but I actually think getting more people with a backbone in Congress. I've been saying this for a while.
Me too.
And I think it's helped, you know, when you compare the previous Congress to the current one. Yes, they could do more. Yes, they've made some bad decisions. But the 109th compared to the 110th Congress, the current Congress, I think has done a much better job holding this administration's feet to the fire on certain issues. I think they could do better. And frankly, the only way to get them to do better is to have better voices. And I think not only focusing on the presidential, the presidentials are important, and that election is key.
Well, I would just differ a little bit respectfully, Brian, that if they held their feet to the fire, they let them keep the steel-toed boots on while they did it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree, you know, and they gave them all the money for Iraq and other things, and this is where I say they could have done better, okay?
Yeah.
But when you compare, for instance, a country like Afghanistan, Pakistan, the previous Congress had one oversight hearing on what we were doing with the $12 billion being sent to Pakistan, much mm-hmm. of it lost to corruption. Current Congress has done 15 or 16, and there's much more oversight. But we need to do a better job, and the only way to do that is actually have more progressive voices. So
yeah.
Second question on the president of Iraq, and I assume he's talking about either President Talabani or Prime Minister Maliki. I think there's a fairly, you know, this is still a very dangerous country.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that in the Basra operation, if you're familiar with that, in
right.
the spring of this year, one of Prime Minister Maliki's top aides was actually killed in that while outside of headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very volatile situation, and we should be concerned about that, but we should be even more concerned about the fragility of the political situation inside of Iraq, which remains very volatile, and the situation remains violent. So if Maliki or Talabani were killed, I think that could be, you know, the flashpoint to a bigger conflagration inside that country.
Brian, about a minute and a half remaining. I wanted to get your thoughts on the alleged flip-flop of candidate Obama on his policy about getting out of Iraq. He had to give two news conferences the same day in Fargo last week, and I do believe his statements. At the same time, when I examine all of his record very carefully, he has never talked about getting all of our troops out. He's talked about getting combat troops out, and that residual force is just one of the issues I have concerns about.
Yeah, I think, you know, I actually think that there's a tug of war going on inside of the Obama campaign. And I actually think, you know, his positions could use greater clarity on the issue of residual forces and other things. There are criticisms there. But I suspect a lot of this, it was interesting to me to see that at the start of last week, the McCain campaign sending out trial balloons saying, look, we're going to try to make it seem like Obama's flip-flopping on his position. And then, to me, to wake up and see the op-eds this morning in the Wall Street Journal and Washington Times, I think there's some element of McCain trying to paint Obama as changing his positions here, and the media has really bought into it. And I actually think what we need is a clarifying debate between the two candidates. I think Obama's trip to Iraq this summer will help him bring greater clarity to that position, and it's my hope that it's one that brings this war to an end, as opposed to a muddle.
So. Thank you very much for your time today. Brian Katulis from the Center for American Progress. His new book, The Prosperity Agenda, out soon. Talk to you very soon, Brian.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
He is the man who keeps saying things he doesn't mean to say. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yesterday we got a story that the Prime Minister of Sovereign Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki, wants a timetable for U.S. troops to leave. Sounds crazy, I know, but the reason this comes up is that the official U.N. mandate for the occupation expires at the end of the year, and Maliki wants to make it clear to his constituents that he isn't going to allow permanent U.S. bases. He also noted in his speech that most Americans are now against the war, hence the idea that if Iraqi forces are ready, we might not be needed. There is a precedent for that concept, by the way.
40,000 Iraqi troops are well trained enough to help secure Baghdad. That was a very positive sign.
And that was back in May of 2005, over 3 years ago. Imagine how ready they must be now. So this is great news. Prime Minister Maliki, top guy in Iraq, saying, job well done, you can go home. However, like his statement about kicking out Blackwater after they shot up a street full of people, and his talk about amnesty for insurgents who'd attacked U.S. troops, it turns out that his words never mean what they appear to mean.
The White House downplays the statement by Iraq's prime minister. The Bush administration does not view al-Maliki's comment as a proposal for a set timetable.
And the reason the White House feels that way is that if we left just because the Iraqi government wanted us to, we know what the enemies of democracy would do.
If we withdraw, the enemy will follow us home.
Although, from Maliki's point of view, that may be exactly...
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else... it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Yeah.
dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
4 years ago, Neil Young issued this musical indictment. Why has it taken so long? The musical indictment issued 4 years ago, Neil Young's CD called Living with War, that's Let's Impeach the President. Jason Leopold has some breaking news for us. He, of course, is our intrepid investigative reporter, got the new website at thepubrecord.org. That's the public record, its full name. Jason, how are you today?
Hey, Peter, how are you? I hope you can hear me okay.
A little bit echoey there. Come on up a little closer.
Let me try a different area.
All right. It's okay. It still sounds a little echoey, like you're in the shower. And, of course,
I can assure you that that is not the case.
Okay. Well, it's hot enough in California, 3 or 4 showers a day, not out of the question.
Yeah.
That is a little better.
Okay, great.
Jason, you just published a story at the Public Record today that Dennis Kucinich is not stopping.
He's not stopping. In fact, this was actually perfect. I conducted an interview with Congressman late last month, and I was just putting the finishing touches on it to, basically provide readers with an understanding as to why he was doing this, and got the report that on Thursday he was going to introduce a single article of impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I have been trying to get just over the past couple hours was to, first of all, find out if that single article of impeachment is an addition to the 35 articles of impeachment, if it replaces that, in addition, whether this was some sort of compromise. Compromise meaning with John Conyers. Because as you know, the articles of impeachment introduced last month were sent over to the House Judiciary Committee. And Kucinich said that he was going to give them 30 days to review it and, try to urge them to hold hearings. Now, I have to say that Conyers has certainly shifted a little bit his position on impeachment. And during the House Judiciary Committee hearing with former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan, he had actually mentioned the word impeachment. He mentioned it in the context of the propaganda campaign used to bring this to launch a preemptive strike against Iraq was, quote-unquote, you know, an impeachable offense,
mm-hmm.
Depending on how one interpreted the Constitution. So Conyers, you know, to me, I'm going to, you know, sort of say, this is just a guess right now, but I'm going to say I believe that there was some sort of compromise. I mean, you know, Kucinich certainly made it very clear to members of the House that he was not going to stop, that he was going to continue to introduce articles of impeachment or just, you know, an article of impeachment over and over again until, you know, they take it seriously and take up the matter. And, you know, certainly when you know, for me at least, as a reporter looking at this in the context of, you know, what we have learned just in the past couple of months with the numerous hearings that have taken place in various committees, it certainly comes across as a quite a bit more newsworthy now than, say, you know, perhaps a different time. I think that, and that is as a result of what we have learned about what took place behind the scenes. But I'm still trying to find out from Kucinich's office what sort of conversation he had with Conyers,
mm-hmm.
And what prompted this.
And just how much flexibility does John Conyers have? As recently as today, the Pelosi press office was issuing the same damn statement about how it's off the table, it would divide the nation, and it wouldn't be successful. And I don't agree with those talking points, but that's what they're saying. And so how far can Conyers go in indulging Dennis Kucinich, whether it's a single article of impeachment, or the 35 that he previously introduced?
Sure. Well, I think that, first of all, that, you know, when it comes down to it, John Conyers can certainly, you know, act as if he wants to act upon it. I think that's pretty clear. You know, it's his committee. This is where the articles landed. It's certainly within his right to bring it up, you know, to have a hearing on it, but you know, historically the various committees operate under guidance from the speaker. But you know, I just sense a different a change in attitude from Conyers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm entirely convinced. Just, you know, looking back at some of the various statements he's made, I mean, you know, one thing that he is also trying to do, and I mentioned this to you last week, Peter, is that he has, along with Henry Waxman, has been trying to subpoena or trying to obtain the transcripts of Vice President Cheney and President Bush's interviews with Patrick Fitzgerald, special prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And in his numerous letters to Attorney General Michael Mukasey, he stated that, you know, he has brought up the claims of perhaps obstruction of justice. You know, the way that he used that, you know, the way that he phrased that and in the context he did, certainly would come across to, I think, any legal scholar as it would be understood as he, John Conyers, is investigating whether, you know, there was obstruction or there is evidence of obstruction of justice and whether that, you know, warrants impeachment. Because that's what his committee, or that's what the House Judiciary Committee does, you know, that's their role. And, you know, he has certainly been, he has been doggedly pursuing, those transcripts, and there has to be a reason behind it. I think that, you know, if this is just a matter of, you know, gaining some headlines in the press, well, you know, he certainly has succeeded in that, but he's really going after this. And, you know, I just think that, you know, if in fact Kucinich wound up boiling this down or, you know, bringing the most egregious, you know, charge, if you will, and that is, you know, launching a war based on false pretenses, well, perhaps, you know, they would be inclined to take it up. You know, in
But Jason, that, you know, a similar article has already been introduced by Kucinich, and Chairman Conyers has the prerogative to just pull that one out of the 35, the stack of 35, and say,
sure.
say today the committee is going to take a look at this article of impeachment. So I don't quite understand. Maybe it's just for, you know, Kucinich's efforts to keep leverage and pressure on Conyers and Pelosi, that he has this plan to just not go quietly. That, you know, I have no problem with. What I don't understand is what the maneuver here is, because, as we said, in the first batch, there is a resolution that's very close to what Kucinich has articulated as his next article to be introduced.
Right. Well, I agree. I think that, you know, certainly there... No, there's some sort of maneuver going on here, and there's I have to say that I believe there's some sort of, you know, some sort of compromise that was made, whether it was, you know, verbally or you know, in written form, but it just, you know, something seems like that this was prompted by some sort of conversation, and you know the. One thing that I included in my story was, and I actually included a number of times when I write about this, is a statement by John Dean, the former White House counsel, on what, you know, what would amount to high crimes and misdemeanors. And this was something that John Dean said back in June 2003, that if, you know, George Bush launched a war based on false pretenses or knowingly used flawed intelligence, which we now know to be the case, then, quote, he's cooked. And I think that, you know, putting that in the alongside with what Kucinich said today, I think that, in a way, I think it sort of strengthens, you know, his argument. Dennis Kucinich. Now,
but Jason, we have some very strange cross currents in Washington right now, and let me just identify one.
Sure.
There has been, from a number of individuals, a threat that if Bush launched a military assault on Iran, that people like Joe Biden would immediately call for his impeachment. Here's a bizarre case where Robert Wexler, the Democratic congressman from Florida, a great progressive on most issues, one of the few, the handful of people who has signed on as a co-sponsor of the first batch of 35 Kucinich articles of impeachment, he supports the resolution calling for a naval blockade of Iran. That's H. Res. 362. And that almost gives me whiplash.
Well, I have to, you know, I'm going to be, you know, pretty blunt here. I have to say that I don't think that, and this is just based on conversations I've had with some of these folks in the past week. I don't think that any of these, at least some of the members, Democratic members I've spoken with and their aides, have any idea what they signed on to. I mean, seriously, that's how troubling. And I've made this, you know, I've said this many times in the past. They sign on to various pieces of legislation and even sign legislation without knowing what the heck is contained in that legislation.
All right, but this H. Res. 362 isn't a secret.
Right. No, it's not. It's not. And
it calls for a naval blockade of Iran, which is an act of war.
Right.
And to be supporting impeachment of a president for leading us into a war under false pretenses, I'm all with him on that. And here he is cheering the president on to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, it is very strange. I certainly don't have any explanation for that, and nor have I been successful in trying to get anyone to explain their position on it, other than, you know, lots of spin and getting some of these folks who did sign on as co-sponsors saying, well, you know, no, you're reading it wrong. You're reading it incorrectly. It's not an act of war. So again, it's apples versus oranges, you know.
Yeah.
You say tomato, I say tomato, that type of thing.
And what rhymes with orange? Get back to me on that, will you?
Yeah.
Jason Leopold is with us. Read his work at pubrecord.org. That's the website called The Public Record, P-U-B, pubrecord.org. And he published a memoir called News Junkie. It's a good read. Pick it up if you have a chance. If you'd like to make a comment, we'd like to hear your comment. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. And the free speech zone is coming up just after the top of the hour. All ahead, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. New crash coming in for Santa Cruz County, Interlake and Mount Madonna Road at Casserly Road. Solo vehicle went off the roadway. Not really much as far as details go after that. CHP is on the way to check up there, though. Looks like Highway 17 still checks in Stalin accident-free. Hot day. Remember to turn your air conditioning off if you plan on driving through the mountains. South San Jose, North 101 after 85. We had a solo spin-out block in the right-hand lane. That's being cleared out by the CHP. Look for heavy traffic there. Southbound 101, you are seeing some heavy traffic from Coyote Creek Golf Drive as you head down into Morgan Hill this afternoon. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. It's the Peter B. Show. Iraqis doing on our oil, huh? I can't take it no more. And now Maliki wants to set a date for us to cut and run. Let's take it. We continue now with Jason Leopold. Read his work at pubrecord.org, a great new website. And, Jason, I just got word from our mutual buddy, Mikey Weinstein, that the Military Religious Freedom Foundation will be featured on a report on CNN tonight on Anderson Cooper 360.
So, yes, and his it's very interesting. As, you know, you and I both have spoken about, you know, that issue for quite a while. It does appear that some folks in the mainstream are starting to take notice. You know, the New York Times had a very lengthy story on the, you know, various issues surrounding religion in the military, but more, you know, more than that, the
Christian extremism imposed on people against their will.
Exactly, exactly. So it's, you know, it's interesting to start seeing how that is shaping up.
Mm-hmm. That'll be on CNN tonight. Catch it if you can. We've got Patty calling from Prunedale. Good to hear from you, Patty. What's on your mind?
Thanks a lot. I've been watching the Senate hearings going on today about FISA bill.
Yeah.
And I'm still really frustrated because, and yesterday I saw Barbara Boxer, and they all say the same thing, which is that the eavesdropping did not begin until after 9/11.
We know that's not true.
We know that's not true. And we know that because of the whistleblower. And we know that's not true because of Quest.
Mm-hmm.
We know it began in, I'm not sure if it was February or March.
Well, just a second. Mark Klein told me that the San Francisco wiretaps did begin in 2002. So it's the one shred that I have is Joseph Nocchio was the chairman, CEO of Quest, and he personally declined the offer to wiretap his customers that was made to him by the National Security Agency. And we have it on record that they received a request from the government on February 27th of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the one thread. Jason, do you have any other?
Yeah, I actually did a report on that,
mm-hmm.
Not specifically on Quest, but I do have a report where I include a document. I believe if you'll have to forgive me, but the headline is, you know, NSA spying evolved pre-9/11. And basically there's a document that I included that shows that, the NSA began its, spying activities before 9/11. This was very much something that, Cheney and John Bolton had, had wanted.
Go ahead, Patty.
October 4th, 2007, the New York Times has an article called Former Phone Chief Says Spy Agency Sought Surveillance Help Before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it talks about Mr. Nocchio.
Yeah.
So I faxed this to Barbara Boxer, and I called Russ Feingold's office to tell him because I'm sure he knows this, but why aren't people bringing it out?
Yeah.
And again, Chris Dodd said the same thing when he got up for his speech. Harry Reid said the same thing when he got up for his speech.
Yeah, well, I personally think that they're, you know, Peter, I'm going to agree with, you know, some of the things that you had mentioned during our last conversation a week ago where, you know, there must have been some sort of quid pro quo that took place, you know, back in March, as you said, between, Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and the White House. And, because they certainly have, changed their tune quite a bit. I mean, we do know that Jay Rockefeller has always sort of been behind this immunity provision.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would guess that, you know, that these lawmakers know what the truth is and are basically playing politics at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Patty, thank you very much. I'm glad you're so well-informed and passionate. Why don't you make one more call to a Senate office today, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I haven't given up yet. I do accept that we're going to come out on the losing end of this, but I'm in denial still. Jason, you published a piece a few days ago on, actually a week ago, July 1st, about Roy Hunt. No, wait a minute. I've got the wrong article up in front of me. Ray Hunt, you published later in the week. And he's the guy who is a longtime friend of George W. Bush, contributed money to the campaigns going back, I believe, to the Texas governor's races. And now he's joined ranks with Jack Abramoff and Kenny Boy Lay. Bush hardly knows him.
Well, you know, this goes way beyond Ken Lay or Jack Abramoff. The, you know, if there was ever a definition of cronyism, you know, simply look at Ray Hunt, Hunt Oil, his relationship not only with George Bush and Vice President Cheney, but the entire Bush family. You know, just for your listeners, Ray Hunt and Hunt Oil, that's the company that landed that controversial oil contract production agreement with the Kurdistan Regional Government last year that has come under scrutiny by Henry Waxman's Oversight Committee. In which he says at the White House, you know, what they said publicly and what they knew privately were two different things. But this is pretty remarkable. He was tapped by Dick Cheney in 1998 to serve on the board of Halliburton. His son was, Ray Hunt's son, was an advisor to the White House shortly after after they came into office in 2001 to advise on the national energy policy. He was the campaign, Ray Hunt was the campaign finance chair for the Republican National Committee. Bush asked him to help with his presidential election efforts in 1999 in Iowa. I mean, the list is is pretty long.
And it all just offers evidence why Bush doesn't know the man.
Yeah. Most importantly, exactly, and I have to just say this, is that Ray Hunt, as in his role as on the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, he has access to classified information, and he has a security clearance. And that's really important because, you know, it really undercuts the credibility, his credibility, and the White House credibility.
Mm-hmm.
One element that I did not include in the story is that Ray Hunt is an alumni of Southern Methodist University, donated $35 million to President Bush's library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, met with the White House.
He's a made member of the Bush crime family.
Indeed.
Jason Leopold, great work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Peter.
And let us know when that baby's born.
You got it.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christmas is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. After topping $145 a barrel, the price of crude oil is down sharply. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has details.
At the close of futures trading in New York, oil was at $136 a barrel, down $5, and down almost $10 from the record set last week. Ask commodity traders why, and one reason they give is Hurricane Bertha. It's out in the Atlantic, which means oil platforms in the Gulf of Mexico are not in any weather danger.
And Bertha has weakened to a Category 1 storm, posing less of a threat to Bermuda. Energy consultant Jim Ritterbush thinks oil could be down to $90 or $100 a barrel by the end of the year, but says things could get worse before they get better.
I do think that timing-wise, we will see highs for this year established before this summer is out.
The Energy Department forecasts a continuing rise in gasoline prices up to a national average of $4.25 a gallon this fall. The airlines, squeezed by high fuel prices, keep trying to raise fares.
We're on pace to have over 40 attempted airfare hikes in 2008, and almost double what we saw last year.
Rick Cini of FareCompare.com says so far this year, 15 of those attempts have succeeded. Just last week, United tacked on a $20 surcharge, which was matched by its competitors. 42 years ago, the Federal Trade Commission gave cigarette makers approval to claim that some of their products had less tar or nicotine. Now, as CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports, the agency proposes to reverse that.
What this proposal does is open the door for the Federal Trade Commission to sue companies that falsely advertise their products as light or low tar, in the same way that it could go after a so-called diet company that was advertising that its pills could help you lose a whole bunch of weight. What it does not do is outright ban products from being called light or low tar, but there is a bill working its way through Congress right now that would do just that.
Boeing might get another shot. Tomorrow, the Pentagon's expected to announce whether it will reopen the bidding on a $35 billion contract to build refueling tankers for the Air Force. Last month, congressional investigators concluded that mistakes were made when the contract was awarded to Northrop Grumman and its European partner Airbus. It's hot and dry in California, the worst weather for fighting wildfires. CBS Early Show meteorologist Dave Price is in Goleta.
The smell of smoke on the front lines is absolutely pervasive. It filled the air around those ridges, and, of course, particulates are everywhere. You can't spend more than 15 minutes there without a raw, sore feeling taking over your throat.
The Big Sur fire is only 18% contained, but a mandatory evacuation order along a 25-mile stretch of the Pacific Coast Highway has been lifted. Wall Street likes these lower oil prices. The Dow jumped 152 points today. This is CBS News.
Get the good stuff! These days, the fastest thing on the road is the rising price at the pump. And when it comes to gas mileage, what you get out of your car depends on what you put into it. Napa Auto Parts can help you get the most out of every gallon with Quaker State conventional motor oil, just $2.19 per quart. Quaker State oils are designed with advanced friction fighters to help increase fuel economy and engine reliability. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
A message from the Orbitz Traveler Wellness Center.
Hello, Dr. Martin Pakulski-Blatz here. I just want to tell you about the Orbitz Great American Sale, where you can save 30% on hotels in great American cities. So get going, because really, is there anything more American than America? No, there isn't. So head over to Orbitz.com today and save.
Valid for travel 7708 through 1124 a week, book by 831 and rate seaside for details.
In most parts of the country, a problem parakeet is one that makes too much noise. But in South Florida, wild parakeets are a real nuisance. So, as CBS News correspondent Peter King reports, there's an effort to reduce the population humanely.
Power companies often blame wild monk parakeets for some blackouts, fires, and other problems because of the nests they build in substations. The solution? Reducing the population by mixing a contraceptive in with their food. U.S. Agriculture Department biologist Michael Avery.
The birds don't mind it a bit. It's put on sunflower seeds, which is their favorite food.
In a two-year trial with South Florida substations, Avery says the parakeet population was down by nearly 70%. Now he says his team is testing a feeder that keeps other birds from eating the parakeet mix. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Football star Michael Vick, in prison for dogfighting, has filed for bankruptcy protection, saying he owes creditors up to $50 million. Vick hopes to rebuild his career when he's released. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
A message from the Orbitz Traveler Wellness Center.
Hello, Dr. Martin Pakulski-Blatz here. I just want to tell you about the Orbitz Great American Sale, where you can save 30% on hotels in great American cities. So get going, because really, is there anything more American than America? No, there isn't. So head over to Orbitz.com today and save.
Valid for travel 7708 through 1124 a week, book by 831 and rate seaside for details.
You know, I always appreciate it when someone goes the extra mile. And that's why I love those folks who make Clear Eyes eye drops. They put an extra moisturizing ingredient in every Clear Eyes product in the entire line, even their redness formula. An extra moisturizer they never even told us about. See, they're humble, too. So if you want eye drops that do the job, and then some, get Clear Eyes. Use as directed.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3, my baby don't ever brown me. She loves me throwing my no brush show.
Too hot to shake it.
Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know how.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B. And you're welcome to comment on any issue of interest to others. No ground rules here. But my focus is FISA and the odious manner the Democrats are behaving in. And I just feel infuriated. They're so condescending in the way they talk to us. And really leave us holding a constitution with holes in it and trying to explain that this is what makes us so safe. I think you know this. The president, every member of the House and Senate, takes an oath of office. Not to keep America safe, not to protect our children, but to preserve, to protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And as we've heard on the program today, they're shredding the Fourth Amendment. We had constitutional law professor Francis Boyle from the University of Illinois at the start of our show. And he also talked about this unusual report from former Secretaries of State Baker and Christopher, Republican and Democrat, respectively, about war powers and a proposal that's unconstitutional that would call for a kind of consultation with the Gang of Eight, the people who were briefed on the wiretapping program, briefed on the special ops in Iran. Who knows what else they've been briefed on that we are not privy to. All this is built around the phony war on terror. And all that is premised on the stories of 9/11. And you know I'm a skeptic of the official stories of 9/11. And so we are rappelling into a downward spiral. As phony arguments, concocted fears, are being used to pacify the American people. As un-American, unconstitutional actions are being taken by our Congress, and they think they're doing it in our names to protect us. Let me know your thoughts about this, and if you care to, I'll be happy to place a call to a member of the United States Senate while you're on the line, begging them, arguing with them, wheedling, whatever it takes. Because I believe tomorrow will be a dark day in American history as they legalize the intentional lawbreaking of the Bush administration and regularize the monitoring of every American's communications. And I don't think Benny over there, my imaginary minder at the NSA, is going to be tapping my cell phone when I call to say what time I'll be home and who's going to pick up dinner. But they will have the ability to do that, to track calls, to data mine who you called when and try to figure out why, what your connection is. This is a wholesale invasion into the privacy rights of American citizens. And the framers didn't know about cell phones and email and Blackberries. And they set a strong standard for search and seizure in this country, which is being eviscerated with a lot of polite talk. And, you know, heartfelt, seemingly heartfelt nods to the Constitution. I haven't had a chance to watch the debate, and I probably won't get to because I'm working tonight on Air America, and C-SPAN doesn't replay those things forever. But one listener told me that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island distinguished himself in questioning whether the Senate can delegate its oversight authority in the manner that this law suggests, where inspectors general will perform the role that actual senators should be performing. And there is the post ipso facto issue that this is a direct violation of the Constitution that says you can't pass a law that retroactively lets people off the hook. And that's exactly what's going on here. It is sordid. It is despicable. And I mentioned this earlier. I heard my friend Ed Schultz. I like Ed. I don't agree with him on everything. He doesn't have to agree with me on everything. But he blithely tossed off a line today on his show that he doesn't have a problem with Barack Obama changing his position on telecom immunity and the FISA law. Well, that's going to get a piece of my mind the next time I have a chance to see him or talk to him. And I know I'm going to see him the first weekend in August in the in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Nonstop Radio Progressive Talk Conference. In the meantime, your calls are welcome here. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mildred from Coos Bay, listening on KBBR. Thanks for your call.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi, Mildred.
FISA is always a pain in the neck to me, and the Military Commissions Act and Patriot Act and all of those that are set up to take our rights away, to shred our Constitution, to eventually set up a dictatorship in this country, it really bothers me. So what I really wanted to say, I certainly agree with everything you said. I do not want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I've been trying to figure out why are the Democrats caving in all the time. And I want to look at the psychological processes of what's going on, because that's why and where people act. It's not, you know, like looking at a larger group or an institution. And there's three things that keep people from speaking the truth or forcing them to lie. One is paying them off, and we all know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is intimidation. Will kill you or hurt you and your family, that kind of thing. And the anthrax thing with Tom Daschle leaving and all of that, mm-hmm. that's recent memory stuff. So people have that in their mind if threats come down. And then the other part is blackmail. You have dirty laundry. I'm going to show it to the world if you don't do what I say. And, you know, this kind of stuff can go on in a car, in a restaurant, in an office, in a back smoke-filled room or whatever. But those are the three things that shut people up. If you're doing psychotherapy with a family and they have a secret, you got to get the secret out so everybody can deal with it and then change their behavior. Well, you know, how can we get the congressmen and the senators to do that? We can't. If a whole bunch of people would say, this and this is going on, and it's crooked, you'd start seeing some changes on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't think of any other way to get them to open up. It is. I'm not ready to say all of Congress is corrupt, that they've been bought off, scared off, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
but that is what
terrible legislation.
Mildred, excuse me, but that is what their behavior, that's what their actions tell us.
Or it sure seems like it.
Yeah. Mildred, I'd like to make a call with you on the line. Do you want Ron Wyden or Gordon Smith?
Gordon Smith.
All right, let's see if there's anybody home there. Hold on. We'll call the Oregon office because there's a better chance that somebody will be there in Portland.
Okay.
503-326-3386. See what we get here. Usually in Senate and congressional offices, they answer on the first ring if they're there.
Uh-huh.
But I think they're getting a high volume of calls, and they may be hiding out under the desk there. Well, it's going to voicemail.
How about Wyden?
Thank you for calling the Portland office of Senator Gordon Smith.
All right, let's try Wyden. Let's see. His Portland office is 503-326-7525. Has Wyden taken a position that you're aware of, Mildred?
Not that I'm aware of, although he acts like a liberal most of the time.
He does, yeah. Oh, they're under the desk, too.
Well, the one that I was concerned about was Smith, because he'll vote the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a Republican. He's up for re-election this year, too, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays the game of becoming more moderate, and then when he's in, he reverts back to being very conservative. I've signed a lot of petitions and stuff on all of these bills, you know, to representatives and also to the Senate, because that's how I get some of my frustration out.
Good for you, Mildred. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Now, let's see if they don't go on forever here in their outbound message. Maybe we'll be able to leave a message for Senator Wyden.
Okay.
Here we go.
Possible. Thank you.
At the tone. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, this message is for Senator Wyden. It's Peter B. Collins. I'm a radio talk show host based in San Francisco. And one of my listeners, Mildred from Coos Bay, is on the line with me. We are asking Senator Wyden to vote against the FISA law, to vote against telecom immunity, and to stand strong and firmly in favor of our Fourth Amendment rights. Mildred, would you like to add to that?
Yes. I don't want my constitutional rights taken away by being wiretapped, by having my privacy invaded, by watching the Constitution being destroyed, and our being set up for a dictatorship at some point, maybe in 10 years, 5 years, 2 years. You got to stop these kinds of bills because they don't keep terrorism from our shores. They just spy on ordinary Americans.
Senator, please stand up and be courageous. We've got your back. Thank you very much. Mildred, thank you for your passion. Thanks for calling today, and I'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. More of your calls coming up next. 888-5, Peter B., 888-573-8372. Later this hour, we'll get a report and some comment on the situation in Zimbabwe. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Kind of an interesting item coming in from Monterey County. King City, northbound 101 before Wild Horse Road. We have a porta potty down in the center divide. Couple others on the right-hand shoulder. Could be messy out there. Party that lost them is actually pulled over trying to recover those. CHP is on the way. Interlaken, Santa Cruz County, Mount Madonna Road at Casherly Road. An accident. Solo vehicle apparently went off the roadway. Soquel Drive at Stanley Avenue. An accident. Couple of cars. They may have pulled into a nearby parking lot. CHP is out there taking a report. Highway 17 currently checks in Stalin, accident free. And Sycamore Drive at Armsby Lane, we have reports of low-hanging wires in the roadway, so drive with caution there. This is brought to you by Parrot Hands-Free Car Kits. Positive Parrot reminds you that as of July 1st, California law requires drivers to use a hands-free device for making calls. Get a Parrot instead of a ticket. Check out the complete line of Parrot Hands-Free Car Kits at Parrot.com. I'm Nate Nix, Traffic KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. One of their favorite songs over at the NSA when they accidentally tap into your phone calls. Oh, I didn't mean to turn you on. We're in the free speech zone taking your calls. The Fourth Amendment is about to be diluted with the cooperation of diluted Democrats. 888-573-8372. Marin from Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hello. I love your name. In fact, I thought my friend Marin Gibbs was the only one who had that first name.
Gosh, love to meet him.
Marin's a girl.
Oh, cool. You can start a fan club.
Yeah. So what's on your mind, Marin?
I'm just curious why this question hasn't reached the level of the, say, the Chamber of Commerce, why they would not be concerned. The people that, you know, are in business and who deal in money, wouldn't they be concerned about industrial espionage or, you know, the business, you know, the government routing out their business? Even if they're monotonically focused on money,
mm-hmm.
Wouldn't business people be concerned?
Well,
this is
parallel to the argument that I've been making about Barack Obama. That it appears his advisors have told him that this is not a winning issue for a Democrat to stand and fight on. And I think it's a big issue not only for the rank-and-file Democrats, including progressives, but also for people who are thinking of voting for Bob Barr, the only presidential candidate who is opposed to this incursion on our constitutional rights is the nut job who's running as the libertarian.
And so why aren't the money people really concerned that the government would be intruding, like these mega merger people?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing stirring the pot. There that I can see that gives them any pause.
You make a good point. It is in the self-interest of virtually every American to resist this rollback of our rights in every way possible.
Well, okay, I'll devote a penny and a dollar, and you can call my congressman right now, or, no, my senator, huh?
All right, who should we call?
Feinstein needs a message.
She's a mess. I left a message there last night.
Would we be redoubling your effort?
Let's try Babs Boxer, okay? 403-0100. 415-403-0100. See if they're taking calls right now. It's only 526 in San Francisco.
Okay.
They ought to be there.
Okay.
But I think they checked out.
Good afternoon, Senator Boxer's office.
Oh, good afternoon. Hi, this is Peter B. Collins, and we're live on the radio, and I am calling with our listener, Marin, from Santa Cruz. We're both constituents of Senator Boxer. And we wanted to pass along a message, if you could.
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, we support her in her opposition of the FISA law that's being debated in the Senate right now.
Okay.
But we did detect that she used some misinformation in the debate earlier today because she incorrectly stated that the request for wiretapping came after 9/11. And it's a known fact that Quest Communications, the telecom out of Denver, was they received a request from the federal government, we think the NSA, in February of 2001. So could you pass that along to her? We appreciate her support, her opposition. She's supporting my position by opposing this bill. But please ask her to make her debate arguments reflect the fact that they started requesting these taps well before September 11th.
Okay, I'll be happy to relay that to her.
Could you? Are you getting a lot of calls on this?
Yes, we are, definitely.
Yeah? And what are most of the callers saying?
They mostly follow your same opinion.
Yeah?
Pass that on.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, sir.
Good to talk with you. There's a young summer intern.
Well, I sure appreciate your helping me out with that.
All right, Marin, thank you for calling.
Okay,
good to have you listening in the cruise.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a break and return. We're going to squeeze in a couple more phone calls, and then in the next segment, we're going to be joined by Amira Woods from the Institute for Policy Studies. We'll get her take on Robert Mugabe, the strong man still in charge in Zimbabwe after a very bloody electoral process that wasn't a real election. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the Senate is poised to pass the stinky FISA law, roll back our Fourth Amendment rights, shred the Constitution. I'm a little pissed, I'll just admit it. How about you? 888-5 Peter B.
It's Wednesday night, my woman's out. Once again, I'm home alone. Lately, every Wednesday night is late getting home. She phones from work at quitting time. Says the boss asked her to stay. She said she's making
I suspect foul play. That's right.
I suspect foul play.
Not in a romantic sense, but in a political sense. We'll take more of your calls now. 888-5 Peter B. That's my number. And up next, Karen in Sacramento. Hi, Karen. You're on the air.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. My phones are tapped and it's hot as hell, but otherwise I'm fine.
Well, we're having a big protest across all the United States tomorrow at 213 different locations sponsored by MoveOn.org.
And what's it about?
And we are going to let people filling up their tanks know that, number one, it's not the environmentalists who are making it so that their gas prices are high, but it's people like John McCain and putting Exxon in the White House that has gotten our prices so high. I'm looking at a website right now called campaignmoney.org, and it's showing all the money that John McCain has taken from all the oil companies. And he's got maybe 30 people in high-level positions in his campaign that have earned tens of thousands of dollars for lobbying on behalf of the oil companies.
That's right. And when he went to Colombia last week, one of his top advisors had a relationship with an oil company that has a strong interest in Colombia. So that's just a part of the McCain package. It's beautiful. So where are you going to be tomorrow, Karen? Where is the Sacramento protest set for?
Well, we're going to be at the 76 gas station right off Highway 50 as you're traveling east. So right in the Tower Movie neighborhood. And at noon, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I advise people all over the country to check out their moveon.org and find out where they can show up. And we're just going to pass out literature. It won't be anything too extreme.
Okay. So if I'm on 50 East, I take the Tower Road exit?
Oh, I'm sorry. The Broadway exit, it will say.
Okay, Broadway. All right. And then I look for all the MoveOn activists there at the Union 76 station.
Yeah, you'll have to go around the block a little bit. You'll get to Broadway, and then the actual address is 2400 15th Street.
Okay, 15th near Broadway.
Yeah.
All right, Karen. Well, thanks for your activism. Great to hear from you today.
Okay,
all
bye-bye.
Right. Joe in Brookings, Oregon, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi.
Yeah, well, personally, I think it's more important to talk about Alex Rodriguez having his bat corked by Madonna.
Oh, yeah, we cover that in great detail here, don't we?
Well, you need to cover it more because it's very important. Now, the more pornographic detail, the better. But, you forgot to mention Bob Barr ain't the only presidential candidate opposing this ridiculous wiretapping bill.
All right, Cynthia McKinney, I apologize.
And Ralph Nader.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and speaking of Cynthia McKinney, the Green Party is going to be having their convention in Chicago this week, and C-SPAN probably be showing the Green Party convention during the weekend. I think people should check it out. We need to get these third-party candidates into these presidential debates so these obnoxious major party candidates like Obama and McCain won't feel so safe in ignoring the people.
Well, and I'd like to have more than McCain and Obama on the stage so that we don't have the agenda set by the corporate media. Because if you recall, all the way through, there were some like 22 Democratic debates. Four of them were one-on-one, Clinton and Obama. I don't believe any one of them discussed the FISA law in any way, shape, or form.
Well, yes, that wouldn't surprise me. And the thing is, Obama, he ain't going to pay attention to any talk show host like Peter B. Collins or anyone like that because he figures he's got the votes of the left in his hip pocket anyway. So that's why we need more candidates in these debates.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. Now to Mike in Fair Oaks near Sacramento. How you doing today, Mike?
Good, Peter B. Thank you for staying with the fight here. I wanted to mention a couple of things that happened in that debate that I saw on C-SPAN this morning.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the vote is scheduled now.
Yeah.
Senator Warren.
Warner?
Warner, excuse
yes.
me.
Uh-huh.
Got on the floor of the Senate, and he stated that We needed to remember that the telecoms participated voluntarily, and he likened the telecoms to our all-volunteer military. And that really struck me as being very significant because the tone of the Republicans consistently, and to some extent Senator Rockefeller, was a defense of the corporations today.
Mm-hmm.
The telecoms specifically.
And it's an embrace of the so-called war on terror against our better judgment, and it essentially says that we're going to be in a perpetual state of fear and that we must knuckle under to it and sacrifice our constitutional rights. It's really sick.
Yeah, it's taken me a while to make the connection you just made, but I had an opportunity to speak briefly with some people at AT&T. And it's clear that one of the things that's not being discussed is that the telecom industrial complex, including AT&T, they were paid a lot of money for these services.
Well, we also
volunteered, but it wasn't for free.
Well, the other thing, I'm not sure we know that. I think we believe that. But one thing we do know, Mike, that's on the record, is that when the government went to ask for phone records, okay, not to tap my phone calls, but to look at my bill and see when I called you and how long we talked, okay, that's called data mining. And when the government approached the phone companies, at first they balked. And then the government offered to buy that information from them. And they said, sure, I'll sell you Peter B's records. I just wasn't sure I could cough them up to you for free.
Well, yeah, and this is something that does really concern me. The fact of the matter is this technology is being driven very hard and very strong. And that was another common theme the mention of the technology without any specifics mm-hmm. on the Senate floor today. And I believe the technology is way beyond what most of us, you know, might think it is in terms of how much they've collected and how it's been used and by whom it's been used.
Well, and here we have to rely on our own speculation, and we have to recognize that the very senators who are going to vote to legalize the law breaking and cover up what occurred so that we'll never be able to really find out, they don't really know the extent of this surveillance.
Well, that was a point made in the discussions this morning on the Senate floor. The figure was 70% of the people who are voting tomorrow at 11 o'clock do not have a picture of the facts.
Yeah.
They just don't know. And, you know, this gets back to the delegation of their authority to a great extent. The abdication would be a better word of their responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Peter B., for your efforts in this. I really appreciate it.
I wish I could say it's a pleasure, but I feel it's my duty, and I do the best I can. Thank you, Mike. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll get to you shortly here in the Free Speech Zone. I want to welcome Amira Woods to our program, co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. And this is a group, a think tank for research, analysis, and action. More than 600 scholars and activists are involved there. And she is joining us here to update us on the situation in Zimbabwe. And, Amira, I want to thank you for taking a few minutes here to talk with us today. Because I care a lot about elections, and we have followed what I consider to be stolen elections here in the United States, the presidential in Florida in 2000, the presidential in Ohio in 2004. And one of the things that election protection advocates call for is counting votes at the precinct level. And that's what they did in Zimbabwe in the general election in which Tsvangirai actually did win. And we know that because of the tabulation of those precinct-by-precinct tallies. So Robert Mugabe didn't accept that, and he ran an ugly, very violent campaign where people were killed and maimed and, you know, violently threatened, and ultimately the opposition decided not to participate in the election. Now, Mugabe is claiming that he is the rightful leader of Zimbabwe. And it's a very complicated international picture. It's even kind of taken over the G8 summit in Japan. So talk a little bit about these issues and what you think needs to be done to bring an honest election and a new government to Zimbabwe.
Creating the space for this conversation, for doing a segment on Zimbabwe, but most importantly, for connecting the dots, for making it clear that people of conscience around the world have to stand up for justice, whether it is in the electoral system right here in the U.S., where I am right now, or it is in Zimbabwe or Kenya or wherever it may be in the world. We have to stand up for certain core principles that bring human dignity. And in the case of Zimbabwe, you know, it's absolutely outrageous when you see what's going on. It is a climate where those core principles of democracy have just gone away, disappeared. It's a climate of impunity, as you said so well, with however you want to describe it. It is torture. It is beatings. It is intimidation and outright killings of the opposition, creating a climate where a free and fair election has really not been possible. So what happened? March 29th, there was a presidential election that did take place, and it took place with international observers. That March 29th vote came out with the opposition, Movement for Democratic Change, winning 51% of the vote, according to the Zimbabwe Election Commission. Now, they clearly gained more votes compared to the 48% of the ZANU-PF, the ruling party of Mugabe, won 48%. So there wasn't a clear majority for the opposition. So what happened, according to the Election Commission, and I have to say it's all skewed because it took a month before those election results were even announced, mm-hmm. but they were announced, and this is what it said. That then led to this process, according to the Election Commission and according to the Zimbabwean Constitution, where there is a runoff, which means the two top presidential candidates will go neck and neck in the election. And what happened between March 29th and a week or so ago was that there was a total climate of violence and intimidation of opposition party members and supporters, outright killings in the public eye. And so just days prior to that runoff election, you had the opposition movement for democratic change essentially pulling out and saying it's not worth people losing their lives over this election. So they pulled out, and so in essence, you had only one candidate's name on the ballot, and that was Robert Mugabe, after 28 years of power, wanting to hold on to power, essentially the only name on the ballot. And so clearly, Mugabe now, and as well as his party, which, you know, the ZANU-PF party, is saying that they were the victors from this election. Mm-hmm. But again, theirs was the only name on the ballot. It was not a free and fair process. So when you say what is needed now is actually being detailed quite well by the African Union and by the Southern Africa Development Community. You know, Zimbabwe is this landlocked country. It's surrounded, really, within this Southern Africa region, 14 nations strong. That Southern Africa Development Community has spoken clearly to say that the election was not free and fair, and that and both the Southern Africa Development Community, SADC, and the African Union have put forward a path that says there must be, you know, a transitional governing authority that then leads to a free and fair election in Zimbabwe.
But
this
Amira,
is the path that's been laid out.
Amira Woods, at the recent conference at Sharm el Sheikh, where the newly sworn in Robert Mugabe showed up, it was kind of a stereo effect, because here you had less powerful nations calling him out and challenging the validity of the election and calling for power sharing at minimum, if not unseating his government. But many powerful leaders in the region, including South Africa's President Mbeki, are really playing kind of a dual game. And Mbeki seems thoroughly compromised through family relationships and his history. As a, you know, liberator in that part of the world, he seems unwilling to confront the reality of what a thug Mugabe has become.
But, you know, I think we have to really expand the lens, Peter B., because you had Mandela with all of the dignity that he brings to any issue. You know, Mandela critiquing the flawed elections in Zimbabwe. You had Bishop Tutu. So these are the leaders. You even had the Zuma, who is, you know, Jacob Zuma, who is about to take over the presidency in South Africa, making clear statements about the flawed election and about the need for a transitional governing authority. So what has happened is Mbeki has been actually, you know, sidelined mm-hmm. by the force of these statements coming from African leadership within Southern Africa, in Kenya, in Tanzania, representing the African Union. So you have really had an incredible strength coming out of the African Union. And I think right now what is needed, instead of, you know, Bush going off to Japan and you know, I think there's a danger that the Bush administration, as we've seen with Iraq, sometimes, you know, they go in and their notion of regime change is a notion of you take out a president and you kill him, you know, mm-hmm. as they did in Iraq. And I think what the danger we have now is that the Bush administration pressure towards some kind of unilateral military action can actually disrupt the chances for long-term peace and stability in Zimbabwe. So there we have to deplore the conditions on the ground. We have to underscore the importance of a political resolution to this crisis, and also support an economic transition in Zimbabwe that can help people put food on the table and feed their families and you know, be able to have jobs that pay decent wages again and, mm-hmm. and not have to go across the border for political freedom or for economic survival.
Yeah.
So I think this is the circumstance now, and I think we have to be very wary of, you know, Bush administration claims of regime change, you know, given the history of this administration.
Well, Well, the only thing that Bush has credibility on is stolen elections. He's kind of an expert on that.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think we have to call him on it. We cannot, go and suggest lofty goals, which are right and decent goals for Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. And yet when the people of Palestine, for example, stand up for their rights in an election, right. We say, oh, well, no, that can't be freely the will of the people. No. There is a hypocrisy in the Bush administration that we have to challenge, just as we must challenge the notion that Mugabe, because he was a liberator, from white rule in Zimbabwe, is now justified in killing his own people. I think we have to challenge the hypocrisy wherever it exists.
Amir, I just have about 30 seconds. Where would you recommend my listeners go for accurate information about Zimbabwe? The American media is not doing a very good job of covering these issues.
Well, Peter B., that's why we're so grateful for you and your show, and we just wish you continued strength. I would say first go to Foreign Policy and Focus, which is www.fpif.org. Next, go to Africa Action, which is a longstanding Africa advocacy group here in the United States, and that's www.africaaction.org. And the third ally to recommend is TransAfrica Forum, which is www.transafricaforum.org.
Great resources. Thank you very much. Amira Woods, great to talk with you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. My pleasure, too. 8 minutes in front of the hour. We'll take a quick break and return. If you want to grab a line, I've got room for another call or two at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. We'll start it off in Morgan Hill, Sycamore Drive at Armsby Lane. We have some power cables that have fallen. They're actually about 10 to 15 feet over the roadway, a definite hazard for larger vehicles. CHP is on the scene. PG&E is on the way, and we do have reports of power outages in the area. For Santa Cruz, northbound 1 after Emmeline Avenue, a two-car crash in the final clearing stages off to the shoulder. CHP on the scene there. And in Salinas, Davis Road northbound at Blanco Road, we have reports of a large rake, cars swerving to avoid that as they go by. Now, Highway 17 itself through the Santa Cruz Mountains, we have no stalls and no accidents to tell you about. And this is brought to you by McDonald's. Pick up a pick-me-up, try a McDonald's mini meal. It's your choice of three great meals for under $3 a piece that include a small soft drink and fries. Prices and participation may vary, limited time only. If you spot a traffic problem, call us 415-901-7990. Have a great night. I'm Nate, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade frats, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart at Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
It started with sightings, UFOs over Monterey Bay. I'm your host, Bob Oliver. With a quantum leap and open mind, I will take you another step further as chaos shows itself to us as truth. Saturdays at 9 p.m.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. I get a dinner break about 2 hours, go home and chow down, get newsed up. And then I'll be back behind the microphone, 8 o'clock Pacific time, coast to coast on Air America. I'm sitting in for John Elliott this week while he's on vacation. And our guests tonight include Colonel Sam Gardner, who's done a lot of research on what's going on in Iran. And he'll update us. He was cited multiple times in Seymour Hersh's latest dispatch in The New Yorker. Also, Joe Galloway, the retired newsman who spoke with us on this program yesterday, will be there to talk about his outrage over FISA. And Tom Hayden, former Chicago 8 activist who helped protest and draw attention to the carnage of the Vietnam War, went on to serve in the legislature here in California as a state senator, also ran for governor. Well, he'll be with us, and he has some positive ideas about how to keep Barack Obama pointed to the left and not the center-right turns and steps that he's been making recently. So that's all ahead tonight. Plus, Monterey Carmel area psychologist Dr. Wayne Hersh is going to be with me late night, and we're going to talk about the state of therapy and medication for people here who are suffering from stress or more serious ailments. To Dan in Monterey, listening on KRXA 540. Welcome, Dan.
Oh, thank you very much. This is the first time I've actually heard your radio show. You've got some really informed listeners, and I wanted to thank you and tell you that I really appreciate, and I know a lot of other people do too, that someone's got the guts to come out in this time of fear and intimidation in our beautiful, wonderful country here to actually say that maybe there's something in 9/11 that's a little rotten in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of information out there on the Internet, and there's a lot of terrific videos. I don't know if you've seen some of these in plain sight.
Oh, yeah.
Connect the dots, 9/11. Mm-hmm. And there's some really terrific information out there. It doesn't take a rocket science to look at this stuff and go, hey, there's something wrong. There's too many pieces of this puzzle.
Well, in fact, some of the most authoritative books about this have been written not by a rocket scientist, but by a retired theologian named David Ray Griffin.
Well, I'll have to look into that.
Oh, yeah. Read his most recent book, 9/11 Contradictions. It's just a very well-researched and rational approach to debunking the work of the 9/11 Commission, which was riddled with errors and things that they didn't bother to look into. Well, Dan, I'm glad you called the program. Good to have you listening. We've been on the air for three years on KRXA. And if you're
new in the area,
well, spread the word. Tell your friends, will you?
I will certainly do that. Thank you so much.
All right. Great to hear from you today.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christian is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of America.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Look for labels on cigarettes to change yet again. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cortes says regulators want to eliminate claims that some smokes test as light or low tar.
42 years after endorsing those tests, the federal government essentially called them bogus, saying they do not provide meaningful information on the amounts of tar and nicotine smokers receive from cigarettes. It's a conclusion scientists reached 7 years ago when they found the tests were easily and frequently manipulated. Now the Federal Trade Commission wants tobacco companies to remove its stamp of approval for those tests from their ads and packaging.
A bill in Congress would actually ban cigarette makers from using the words light and low tar. The price of crude oil set a record last week, $145 a barrel. Now it's down $9 in 2 days, settling in New York this afternoon at $136. Energy consultant Jim Ritterbusch says, enjoy it while it lasts.
Volatility reigns supreme, and we're going to continue to see large price swings of 10-20% in a week's time in both directions, I'm afraid.
He predicts oil will reach new highs this summer, but by the end of the year, it could be down to $100 or even $90 a barrel. On Capitol Hill today, accusations that the Bush administration tampered with the evidence on climate change. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
A former top official at the EPA tells Congress it was Vice President Cheney's office that censored Senate testimony in which the government's top doctor planned to warn global warming could bring serious health effects from more allergies to malaria. California Senator Barbara Boxer's been investigating.
We now know that this censorship was not haphazard. It was part of a master plan.
The White House said at the time all the changes it made to testimony about global warming were because of scientific concerns, and today stood by that. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
White House spokeswoman Dana Perino, with President Bush at the G8 summit in Japan, is demanding an apology from Senator Boxer, who accused Perino of lying about the reasons for changing the testimony. In Raleigh, North Carolina.